How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Center Church. We're really glad that you're here. I'm Marcus, and we're just going to have a great time as we kick off this new series. I'm excited about it. We're looking at a bunch of heroes. There's tons of heroes in the Bible. And, you read through it in the Old Testament. We're going to look at one in the Old Testament today. But they're strewn really throughout. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, they devote an entire chapter of the book of Hebrews, kind of like a hall of fame, like these sort of great heroic figures. There's people like Noah, people like Moses and Joseph, women like Sarah and Rahab, and all kinds of, just a bunch of people in there who made an enormous difference with their life. And I'll be honest with you, I want to make an enormous difference with my life. Do you? I think a lot of us do. We just like want to do something bigger than just our little thing. Like we want to do something, something big. And so we a lot of times get inspired by kind of the heroic figures that go like and do something remmable. Do you notice when like it comes like Olympic time and they're always doing like the little mini vignettes and movies of all the different athletes and like a lot of times, like, the work that they did to get where they are, the pinnacle of their success, you know, and like, wow, I worked, you know, for, in a Home Depot, like, lifting lumber, and then I would work at night, and then I would train early in the morning, and now I'm all the way now at the pinnacle of my sport, and we look at that, we stand back, and we go, like, wow, that is so awesome, totally killer. And so a lot of times I look at heroes, maybe you can relate to this, I look at them and I admire the difference that they make and I admire the things that they do and that the impact that they have with their life. And I wonder, like, what's the difference for this person? Like, what's taken this person from, like, normal person to, like, awesome, like heroic or whatever. And oftentimes I get led into this thinking that's like, well, is it that they like have this like superhuman ability, like this perfect or near perfect kind of life that they're living? And what we actually find whenever you dig under the hood of a heroic person, whether they're really in the Bible or not, what you're gonna end up finding is that in fact they're not perfect at all. They're just like you and me. And in fact, I'll show you what I mean. In the Bible, the folks that made the hero list, the Hall of Fame list, had all kinds of stuff in their resume that maybe you wouldn't want on your resume, okay? Moses was a murderer. Rahab was a prostitute. Noah, now you know Noah from like Noah and the Ark and the Flood and all that kind of stuff. Like, you may not know this about Noah. Noah went all country music song, got drunk, passed out, you know, on the ground, took the ark out, you know, for a weekend at Lake Havasu. Like, just like he went there, okay? Noah was a country music song embodied, okay? These people did not live perfect lives. Not even close, okay? So what sets these folks in distinction from me sometimes? Like, what is it about them that's different? It's not gender, because there's men and women. It's not age, because there's old people and there's young people. Like okay, it's certainly not some sort of moral code. I think Noah proved this, okay? What is it that's distinctive about these great heroes? They possessed one thing. They possessed faith, which is great news for you and me, because every single one of us in this room can possess it, and we're going to unpack this a little bit more. Every single one of us can get on that train. We can go from ho-hum to heroic by possessing this one thing that every great hero of the Bible possessed. It was the word faith. They believed something about God. They leaned on something bigger than themselves. And our theme scripture for today is actually found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says this: we live by faith, not by sight. We're supposed to live by faith. It sounds good, right? Like it's like we're in church. It's like everybody's supposed to be living by faith. What I find, though, at least in my own life, is that is way easier to roll off the tongue than actually leg out. Living by faith, not by sight. Because what I think what most of us want to do is we don't much care for sometimes the realities of living in faith. The place we love to live in is this comfy little awesome, you know, warmness we call our comfort zone. For the purposes of this series, we're calling it the box. We love living there in that place. It's the place that's predictable. It's the place that's safe. It's known. There's no chaos in our comfort zone. It's all ordered exactly the way we want it done because we're the ones in full control. Now, for some of you guys, that may look lots of different ways and lots of different places, but you think about it in your mind, what's my happy place? And I go to my happy place. That's your box. That's in the box. We love living there. So now there's this tension because the Bible says we live by faith, not by sight. The living by sight is living in the comfort zone. It's what we can see. But the Bible's calling us out of that box into a different kind of a place, into a different kind of living that's different, that is honestly at a whole nother level. And I think a lot of us kind of instinctively know that if we're really going to be able to live for something bigger than ourselves, maybe occupy the dream or possess the new horizon or whatever, we're going to have to get out of the box as we kind of know it has to happen there. Okay? No great Olympian showed up and was like, you know, it's amazing. I'm able to lift all this weight and I sit home and eat Cheetos all day. It's amazing. Right? They didn't do that. That's their box. That's the comfy zone. It's nice and like, vegging out on the couch. But in order to get out of the box, it meant having to do some stuff that got them to that point. So we're going to kind of look at what that is. Out of the box means risking. Out of the box means believing. It's soaring. It's doing something that is really sometimes unpredictable, sometimes scary, but it's always exhilarating. That's the space that God's calling us out to. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so the big idea of this series is this. I want you to jot this down. If you're believing for something bigger in your life, better get comfortable with getting uncomfortable. Some of you are like, why did I pick this weekend to come to service? Like, when's the series that's all about my comfy zone where I eat Cheetos all day? And I don't know. That would probably be a great series, but that's not the one you're in today. If you're gonna move to a spot and make something bigger in your life, maybe press toward that goal or that dream or fulfilling that big purpose, you better get comfortable with getting uncomfortable. So we're going to look at the life of this guy named Abraham today, and he's one of the heroes in the Hall of Fame that I was talking about. We're going to analyze his life a little bit, kind of look at his life. Here's how this story begins. It's in Genesis chapter 12, so it's on the screen, so you can kind of read along with me. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your family. Leave them. What he's saying is all the predictable stuff, all the things that you know. I mean, you're going to leave your hometown. All the people that have always known you, they know your name, all that kind of stuff. You're going to get out of the box, Abraham. That's what's getting ready to happen. And he says, I want you to go to the land that I will show you. Doesn't know what it is yet. I'm going to show you. So you're out of control now. This is into a land that is new. It's unpredictable. And in verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation. That's his promise. I will bless you and make you famous. Not Insta-famous, not Kardashian-famous, like legit famous. Abraham is one of the most famous people who's now ever walked the planet. I'm going to make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. That's what God's promise was to him. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot, who was his cousin, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. So he's 75 years old. God's calling him out of the box. So here's one of these things. This is not just for the youth, okay? This is not just for people who don't know any better to go get out of the box. This is for everybody. God called 75-year-old man. Come, get out of the box. Leave everything that you've known, this whole life that you have built. You know right where the Krispy Kreme's at in town. You know where the Target is. You know where to go park. You know all the stuff. You know every back street. You know all that. I want you to leave out of your box, and you're going to go to a new place, and I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to bless the entire world. Every family on earth is going to be blessed because of you. Wow. I think every single person in this room has dreams and goals and aspirations for their life. Okay? Everybody does. It doesn't really matter if you're in your box or not. In fact, everybody who's living in a box pretty much has dreams and aspirations for their life. So you can have them and remain in the box. The difference maker are the people, and I honestly think, like, for every 10 people that are, like, you know, sitting in their box and, you know, eating Cheetos and they've got big dreams for their life, for every 10 that remain there with their big dream, there's only about one that'll actually get up off the couch and go work out. There's only one that's going to take the initiative to go possess what they've just been pontificating about. And so this whole series is about becoming the one, not falling into the status quo ho-hum of how everybody else does it. But why do we want to remain in the box? What is it about the box that keeps us there? I think it's fear. Because the moment we step out of the box, we have to risk. And we don't know exactly how it's going to all work out. We're afraid. And so I've had my hands wrapped around all of the little mechanisms and controls, and I know how everything's supposed to go. The moment I set out into this land, and God, even if God's got something for me, he's like, I'm going to take you to a land, I'll show you. What that means is it's TBD. Okay, I'm not going to fill you in on all the blanks. Just come on, follow me, let's go. Now, that requires a ton of risk. Now it's not safe anymore. Now I'm having to get out there and go. But I want you to write this down. Refusing to risk failure means ultimately facing regret. When I was a kid, we used to go to the swimming pool. And this was, you know, this one pool that we went to was never heated. They were like morally opposed to heating the water in the pool. I don't know what. It was always frigid. And so, but here's what always ended up happening. Is the first kid in the pool was always like, ah, it's freezing. Now the next guy's like, now he's kind of like freaked out. Like, it's that cold? Like, this guy looks like he's about to drown. It's so cold. And now he's a little bit more cautious. He gets in. You're right, it's freezing. But now they're starting to get used to it. But by the time, like, the fifth guy is going like, everybody's complained about the water temperature. Now it's a lot. Now they're just saying that it takes a lot longer to get into the water. And basically what ends up happening is that one guy, for fear of getting in the water, stands on the pool deck with a dry towel and a dry swimming suit. And at the end of the day, if they haven't risked to get in the pool, what they're facing is the regret because they missed out on all the fun. Sounds like a stupid example, but we do that all the time. We fail to risk, or we don't want to do that. We like the cocoon. We see these other people that we admire have gotten in the water and are making it happen. We're standing on a pool deck with a dry towel and a dry swimming suit, and what we face is regret at the end of the day. There's this guy named Josh Foer. He wrote a book called Moonwalking with Einstein. It's a really interesting book, but it's all about how to become an expert in an area of your life. And basically what he demonstrates in this book is there's this limiting influence of in-the-box thinking. And basically what happens is in any given skill set that you might have, people arrive at what he calls the okay plateau. And the okay plateau is where you have learned how to do something just good enough to sort of get by. Like, you're like okay, you're decent at it, and that's where you stay. You stay at the okay plateau. And this is happening in your life whether you realize it or not. How many people would be willing to raise their hand and say, I play golf? Raise your hand really quick. Any golfers in the room? Okay, great. So a few hands. We're always cautious when we lift our hands when we play golf. You know why? Because most of us are on the okay plateau in a big way. On the golf tip, okay? Because how many of you folks that play golf would say that this year my handicap went way down from last year, right? There's not one hand, okay? On any given day, I go out and play golf. I've been playing golf for 30 years, okay? Any given day, I go out and play golf. I'm gonna shoot an 86, okay? I'm okay. Here's the thing. When I go out, if I were to go out tomorrow, plus or minus 2 or 3 strokes, I'm hitting an 86. A month from now, about an 86. 2 years ago, 86. Funny how that works. I got just good enough, and that's where I plateaued out. Because I'm not willing to get out of the box and do what it takes to actually go get at the level that all these people I see on ESPN, and I'm just like, man, that is amazing. That is so good. Look at that guy. It's amazing. to say nothing of the fact I don't have that ability, but that doesn't matter. Let's do something that's a little closer to home. How many people spend a good chunk of their day, maybe at work or at home, doing emails or whatever, on a keyboard? And you type on a keyboard on your computer. Let me see your hands. Come on. How many of you guys type faster this year than you did last year? How many? One hand. He's been on Speedo type app like for a year and a half now, and he's 5 words per minute faster, right? The average person types 40 words a minute. Okay? And for virtually every person, you've probably been typing about 40 words a minute basically the whole time you've been a typist. Now, what stands between you and me and the world's fastest typist, which, by the way, she types 212 words a minute. Okay, that's some smoke. I don't even think 212 words a minute. She's like smoking fast, okay? What separates her and me is the okay plateau. I'm just good enough to kind of get by. I kind of like it in the box. Now, here's my point. Quite honestly, you may be perfectly good with 40 words a minute. I certainly am. I'm not staying up late at night like wondering how can I get to 212 words a minute. I don't care. I'm clearly good with my 86 on the golf course. But what about the big things that I do really care about? What about the areas in your life that you have an aspiration, you have a dream for something more? What's it going to take to get me from where I am right now to the fulfillment of that thing? What it's going to require is I'm going to have to get out of the box. I'm going to have to refuse to camp out on the okay plateau in my life. I'm going to have to refuse to stand on the pool deck with a dry towel and dry swimming suit. I'm going to have to go get in the water, and so are you. And so we're talking in this series, the moments that remain, we're going to look at Abraham's life, and we're going to draw out some things that we can apply in our everyday to go get out of the box. Because I believe God wants to call us up to something that's far bigger than even what we've already experienced. He's got more for us. Here's what it begins to take to begin believing outside of the box. Here's the first one. Write this down. Expect difficulty to surprise you. When you step out of the box, write it down. Difficulty is coming your way. God had told Abraham, I want you busting out of the comfort zone. And then Abraham did it. Okay? He was obedient to God and he went for it. But look at what happened. Genesis 12, verse 10. There was a famine in the land. Now, this is the exact place that God had told him to go. Like, he's heading where God wanted him to go, and now there's a famine in the land. There's difficulty there. So Abraham went to Egypt. He pressed on to stay there a while because the famine was so severe. The first thing that happens to Abraham when he gets out of the box is difficulty surprises him. The very first thing probably that's going to happen to you when you go get out of the box is there's going to be trial and challenge that's going to come your way. And here's where the first sticking point comes for us, because this is a hang-up for all of us, because we immediately start going like, well, how could God ever send a challenge and a difficulty to dear old me? Why would God do that? It couldn't possibly be the plan, God. But isn't the plan Cheetos? Isn't the plan a comfy couch? Isn't the plan me just kind of being, you want me to go over there and your big idea is that I'm going to face challenges? And what clearly God is willing to do in my life and in your life is to bring some challenges along the way, because actually we end up needing it. So when you run into a difficulty, what do we do? Well, what did Abraham do? Abraham didn't just stop. He didn't just quit. He didn't just go back home where he knew where the Burger King was. He pressed through. He kept going. He endured. He didn't just call it quits. He put his head down, and he gutted it out. It's just so important, because our first tendency when we hit something difficult and something hard is we want to turn tail and run and go get back in the box. And I want to tell you right now, that makes about as much sense as you having a flat tire in your car on your journey and getting out, and upon seeing your flat tire, you go and you basically slash the other three tires just to prove the point. You have a flat tire, what do? You go get the spare and you put it on your car so that you can keep going. Right? That's the whole reason you have the spare to begin with. You don't have the spare so you can, you know, like, you get a flat tire, what, you just pour gasoline in your car, light a match, and just, like, I'm going to walk home? No, you put a spare on it and you keep going. There's an endurance. There's a, come on, we can do this thing together. It's what's so great sometimes about being in the family of God is that we can cheer one another on when we get flat tires. We expect difficulty to surprise you. Here's the second one, though. Remember what God can do. Remember what God can do. Look at what Abraham did. In Romans 4, verse 17, it says, Abraham believed when he stood in the presence of the God who gives life to dead people and calls into existence things that don't even exist. When Abraham bumped into difficulty and challenges, one of the things, what Abraham did is that he started remembering the things that only God could do. He faced the difficulty with a faith-filled mindset. This is what God can do. I'm going to remember what this is. And this verse actually tells us what God can do. There's some distinctives I want us to kind of center our minds and hearts around on what God can do. You remember what God can do. It says that God gives life to what is dead. Okay? God can take what is absolutely stone cold dead and revive it to life. He can take a situation that's completely hopeless and he can resurrect hope out of it. He has the ability to radically take and, like, life stage switch something that's stone cold dead and make it alive. That's what God can do. What's the thing in your life that maybe it's just like it's dead and buried and gone? It's a dream that you gave up on. It's like it's some deep recessed closet right now. Abraham believed God and began to reflect on what only God can do, and God can make dead things come to life. Here's the next one. God creates newness out of nothing. Another translation of that Romans passage says, That God calls things that are not as though they were. So, like, literally, and this is a big challenge for you and me, when we bump into a situation, we look around and we're like, there is no way that this is happening. There's not even anything here. There's no hope here. There's no resources here. There's just nothing here. But you got to remember what God can do, because God goes in and he looks at the things that are not and he calls them as though they are. He actually can create out of nothing newness. But I want you to look at this thing one more time. In verse 17, what Abraham did that was really the game changer for him. In verse 17, it says, Abraham believed when he stood in the presence of God. What I draw from that is that my belief is built on God's presence. This is so big. Because if you wonder how am I going to actually get out of the box? I got to remember what God can do, but what predicated him arriving at those realities and those understandings is that he went and stood in God's presence. He went and got with God. When we gather together in this way on the weekend, this is the thing that I want you guys to understand, the power of what we're doing right now. Because we are reminding one another when we come and we get in God's presence. This is something that you do that is unlike anything else you do all week long. When you gather with the people of faith and we remind one another, when you remind me, like, you know what? God can actually raise the thing that is the biggest challenge for you. Don't forget, Marcus, that God can raise dead things to life. I'm reminded of that when I'm in God's presence with you. You're reminded of something when you're with me, that maybe that area in your life, you don't see how it all works out because there's nothing even there. Maybe I can help remind you, yeah, but God creates newness out of nothing. Let's go stand in his presence together. That Abraham's faith, my faith, is built when I believe God in his presence. That's how my life is filled with faith, when I'm with the people of faith, with a God who is dumping out his provision and his promise with us together. That's why I stand back and go, hey, way to go, guys. You got out of your comfort zone. You got out of your box a little bit. You could have slept in today, could have done a myriad of other things, but you come and you stand in God's presence to be rebuilt and recharged. My belief is built in God's presence. That's what helps me remember what God can do. Here's the third one. Abraham faced the facts with faith. Look at Romans 4, verse 19. It says, Abraham didn't weaken, through faith, he regarded the facts. So Abraham's looking at the facts. Here's the facts. His body was already as good as dead now that he was about 100 years old. And Sarah was unable to have children. He had had this promise from God, you're going to have a child, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Remember that promise? Every family on earth is going to be blessed through you. Now he's 100 years old. Says his body is as good as dead. He's facing the fact, look, I'm old. This whole fatherhood thing, probably not going to be working out all that well for me. His body was as good as dead. What that means is it's still 4,000 years before Cialis was going to be invented, okay? Do you see what I'm saying? And he's looking over at his wife, also old. He's looking at that like, yeah, this ain't going to be happening at all. That's what he's doing. And what is he goes on to say, but look at verse 20. Here's the kicker. He didn't doubt God's promise out of a lack of faith. Instead, giving honor to God for the promise, he became strong because of faith. He faced the facts with faith. That's what faith living really is, you guys. It's facing the facts without becoming discouraged by the facts. Faith-filled people aren't duped into some myth that there are no problems in their life. Okay? Faith is not about denying reality. Faith is not about pretending that you don't have a problem. That's called denial. That's not faith. Faith is giving honor back to God instead of running back into the box. That's what faith is. So faith is about believing that somehow God's going to be bigger than my problem that I'm facing. God has a plan for me somewhere in here. So I'm going to bridle back my doubt, and I'm going to believe God in faith. He became strong because of his faith. That is available to you and to me if I'll face the facts, but I face it with faith. And then here's the last one. I got to depend on what God has promised. Back to Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham, and in a vision, he said to him, do not be afraid, Abraham, I will protect you, and your reward will be great. This is God circling back literally like years later, and he's like, hey, I'm going to protect you. I'm still with you. I am your great reward. But look at verse 2. It says, Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all of my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Now, what's interesting about this is that this conversation he's having with God is about 10 years after God gave him the promise that he would have a child. Now, I don't know about you, but the way he's talking with God, I can way relate to. Because if I got a 10-year-old unfulfilled promise, that's feeling a little tarnished and a little stale at the 10-year mark. Are you with me? Okay? That's one of the things I like about the authenticity of the Bible. Here's the hero of the faith that's coming back to God saying, hey, 10 years later, you know it's been 10 years, right? I don't see it. I don't get it. It's a 10-year promise. It's starting to look dingy with a little doubt. So basically, Abraham is looking at this, and he's basically talking to God, and he's saying, God, is this promise thing still a go? Are we still good here? I kind of thought it was going to be like rolling out in a different way, and now you're checking back in, and appreciate that, but like, what's the deal? And so here's where one of the great heroes of the Bible actually gives me some encouragement, and I hope it will be encouragement to you. That a life of faith isn't the absence of doubt. Abraham's having some doubts. He's having some questions. And I think that a lot of people think that if you're going to be a person of faith, if you're going to live outside of the box, you know, I'm going to have to be able to live a life that's free of doubt. And I know innately I can't live a life free of doubt. So I'm just going to stay in the box. I can't be like one of those heroes of the faith. Those people like lived at a different level. They must have been, you know, they ate a different kind of breakfast than I eat, or they, you know, they have a different DNA strand in there somewhere, whatever. Like, that's just not me, because they lived a life free of doubt, and I've got all these doubts in my life. I'm out. I'm going to stay in the box. And what you're seeing in the life of Abraham is the dude had a lot of, he had a ton of doubts. He had a ton of them. And I have a confession to make. I got a ton of doubts about my faith. Do you? Some of you are like, you do? You're a pastor. You're not supposed to have it. No, I'm a person. I'm a person. I got doubts in my faith just like you do. And quite honestly, the longer I live, the more I keep bumping into stuff like, man, I have no idea about that. Oh, wow. Where do I put that? And I know it's like, I know I don't want to do it. I shouldn't do it or whatever, but I've got them. Just like I know I shouldn't drink as much Diet Mountain Dew as I do, but I do it. You know, it's like, that's what it is. This is me. Okay? But here's the thing. I want you to go, if you want a mission this way, go dig through the pages of the Bible. And go try to find a great hero of the faith that didn't struggle with doubt. I defy you to find one in the Bible. Every single one, man and woman, every one of them wrestled with doubt at some point. This thing is just massive. Abraham had doubts. Moses had doubts. Peter had doubts. Noah had tons of doubts. And the Havasu thing that he did. Sarah had doubts. All that. Living your life isn't about an absence of doubt. So get that out of your head just for a second. You're not a bad person of faith just because you struggle with doubt. Here's the kicker. Write this in. Faith refuses to allow doubt to make our decisions for us. So doubt's going to be in the mix. You're going to have it. It's going to be there. The person of faith just refuses to allow all of those doubts to call the shots in our life, okay? It doesn't allow doubt to coax me back into the comfort zone. It doesn't allow me to shove me back into my box. It presses me out and back out of the box, away from the ho-hum. Look at what Abraham and God exchanged here on this journey. Verse 4, then the Lord said to him, no, I know you're confused, but no. Your servant will not be your heir, for you have a son and of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Here's what he was doing with Abraham. It's what he wants to do with you and me. It's he saying, no, I'm actually going to fulfill my promise to you. Come with me. Let's come outside. Let's come out of the box for a second. Notice that God wasn't in the box. He was outside the box. Come out here with me. Let's look up at the stars in the sky. And he takes this really natural example, just like can't miss it. This is before smog pollution and light pollution and everything else. Imagine what the stars in the sky look like. He walks him out. Now, check out the stars in the sky, Abraham. Count all those stars if you can. So here's Abraham, 1, 2, 3, yeah, I can't do it. And what he's doing in Abraham's, what he wants to do in you and me, he wants to elevate our perspective above what we can see and above what we can control. Because this is the space that God sees and God controls. And we are the most elevated when I get my mindset up where God begins seeing stuff in my life. Is when, and maybe you need to do this in a figure of speech. Maybe you need to take a walk with God and go look up at the stars and try to go count the myriad of promises that he has for you. You won't be able to do it. Because maybe what actually needs to happen in your life is to come to the final reality, like, you know what, I can't do that, but you can. I can't, but you can. This is big. I can't, you can. You say that with me? I can't, you can't. This is the game-changing pivot that a faith-filled person makes when they walk into the middle of their challenges that are going to come in life when you get out of the box, and they make the reality that just says, I can't, but you can. I can't see how this is going to work out, but you can. I'm going to have my doubts, yes, to be sure, but I'm not going to allow my doubts to call the shots in my life. I can't do it, but you can. You're God, and I am not. You have dreams, and you have goals, and I know you do. You've got aspirations for your life. You want something more and something bigger for you. I guarantee you something. You will never be able to accomplish those things while you're living in the box. You've got to get out of the box. Interesting to me that God went and met Abraham in his tent, in his box, and said, come, get out of the box. I want to show you something. And that handhold of faith, walking with God, to elevate our perspective above what we can even see and experience in the right now, that is the walk of faith. It's not perfect. It's not always pretty. It's not cleaned up with a red bow on top. Okay? It's not any of those things. But quite honestly, those are all just bumper sticker caricatures of Christianity. It's not even real. Don't buy into it. Real faith walking is nitty-gritty, sometimes messy, sometimes stuff you wouldn't want to put on your resume, sometimes things are just like dirt under your fingernails. I'm just clawing this thing out. I'm going to walk out here with God, and I'm going to trust him. I can't even do it, but he can, and I'm just going to boldly live for him. And maybe that step for you is a step out of the ho-hum, like this lame-o, mediocre existence that you have surrendered to without even knowing you surrendered to it. Don't be the little kid standing on the pool deck with a dry towel and dry swimming suit. That's a life of regret. Let's go walk outside with God. Let's go stand in his presence. Let's go let him elevate our perspective above what we can see and what we can even dream about. I can't do it, God, but you can. What's the dream that's so massive and so big you could never possibly do it in 100 million years? Those are God dreams. Those are the kind of things that God wants to do. Because when they are accomplished, only God can get the glory. I leave you with this truth. There is hope beyond your comfort zone because God is bigger than your box. See, he didn't just walk Abraham outside to look at the stars to make him feel bad because he couldn't count them all. He was trying to explain something to him that says, I not only know all the stars that are there, I actually spun every one of them into place myself. I not only know all the hopes and dreams that you're going to experience and I'm walking you into in your life, I actually custom made every single one of them for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans, plural, that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That is the kind of dreaming that God wants to do over your life and mine. And there's hope beyond your comfort zone because God isn't in your comfort zone. God's outside of your box, and he knows what he has for you. So I want to ask you to do something with me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment? Because some of you need to take a step of faith toward this God who loves you. That you're maybe just hearing for the first time, like, well, there's actually a God there that loves me that much and that is there for me and has its promise to be with me no matter what and to provide for my needs. And really, he has a purpose and a plan for me? And the answer is yes. You need only put your trust and your hope and your faith in him. And that's as simple as just agreeing with a little prayer that says, Jesus, I need you. And I'm giving you control of my life. I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin, of the mistakes, my resume that I've made a mess of. God, come into my life and wash me and make me new. Bring newness out of nothing. Raise to life this thing in me that has been dead. I'm giving you my whole life. If that's a prayer that you just prayed in your heart, you just began taking a faith walk out of the box with God. You just became a follower of his. You just became a child of God. And his promises to you are absolutely certain. He has a hope and a plan and a promise for you. And if that's you and that's a choice that you're making today, I want to pray for you specifically. And I promise you I will not draw any attention to you. I will not embarrass you, but I want to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you and it's like, you know what, I'm going to begin a walk with God today. I want you to just slip up your hand and say, yep, that's me. I got you back there. I got you. I got you. I got you back there too. Anybody else waiting just a quick minute? Okay, I see you. Cool. Great choice. Some great choices being made today. Thank God for that. Anybody else? A quick second. Okay, I got you. Thanks. Heaven's applauding. And I'm telling you, God cannot wait to take you outside and show you the stars. And that's true of every single one of us here in this place today. He cannot wait to take you outside and show you the stars. Just come walk with him and get out of the box. That's where hope's at, outside the box. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we've had to be together to encourage one another according to your word, to be lifted up and elevated in our outlook and our mindset. Lord, we want to be lifted to a new horizon in you. And I pray that you would save us from ho-hum, mediocrity, thinking that holds us back and anchors us to a place that really is less than in our life. I pray that you'd help us to take a walk with you out into the stars, and that you would expand our horizon and help us to dream anew. Fulfill your purposes in us, Lord. And I commit these, especially that have taken a new step, to follow you today, and I pray a blessing upon them, and that your promises for them would just blow their mind, and that you would receive all the glory. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, as we walk out these doors today into our day, into our week, that you would help us to live outside of the box. In Jesus' name, amen.